Now, the Brenda Starr newspaper comic has always been written and drawn by women. Am I correct in that?
Brenda is a very rare comic strip in that it has always been written and drawn by women. It was started by Dale Messick, whose real name was Dahlia, but it was difficult for a woman to get hired as a comic strip artist, and so she disguised her name by dropping Dahlia and changing it to Dale. And to this day, there are very few women writing comics.
How do you think that's affected Brenda Starr's development, being produced by women all these years?
I think that Brenda as a character is a more plausible woman than the other women in the comic strips who are written by men. Not that men can't create female characters and women can't create male characters. I created tons of male characters, some of them more plausible than others. But I do think it gave Brenda a quality of authenticity that you don't find all that much in the other strips.
Now, you were taking over someone else's character, and you had to be true to that, but at the same time, you must have made some changes and developments in Brenda Starr from the character that Dale Messick created.
It's a very tricky thing to inherit a character. I wouldn't have known that until I did. If I were going to create a character, I would not have created the character of Brenda as I inherited her. But over the years, I did move her more in the direction of a character I would have created. When I got her, she was girlier than she was at the end. So interestingly enough, in her very early days, Brenda Starr, in the early 1940s, was more like she was by the time it ended than she was in these intermediary years in the 50s and 60s, where she just got girlier and more into lingerie. But if you look at the very first Brenda Starr comic strip, it's fascinating. Written in 1940, and Brenda is sitting in a newsroom, and she's paging through the newspaper, and she's harumphing to herself, you know, why do women only get to write about society news? And she stalks over to her editor, and then he says, fine, you go out and you cover that crime. So she wasn't girly when she started, but somewhere in the middle, and there's some speculation that editors pressed Dale Messick in that direction, it became more of a romance than an adventure strip.
And that's one of the big themes in the strip, is especially one romance, Brenda Starr's relationship with the mysterious Basil St. John and the black orchid serum that keeps him alive and all of that, which got very complicated over the years. How much of that was your plot development?
Well, Dale invented Basil St. John, Brenda's mystery man, the man with an eye patch and a need for black orchid serum in order not to go mad. She invented him, I think, in 1945. And so he was in and out of Brenda's life for a zillion years. And sometime in the 1970s, Dale made the mistake of having Brenda and Basil get married. Complete chill on the romance, right? So under Dale, that character of Basil changed somewhat. He became domesticated, less alluring. Their relationship got rocky. And by the time I got the strip in 1985, Basil had been in a plane crash, he had disappeared, and I decided I was in no hurry to bring him back. Brenda was more interesting, she had other guys in her life. But he did come back intermittently in the 25 years I wrote her.
When you started this strip in the 1980s, started writing for Brenda Starr, I assume you couldn't have foreseen what's happening to the newspaper industry today, but that's certainly something you've dealt with in the last few years of the strip.
One of the major themes of Brenda for the past few years has been the revolution in the newspaper industry. It actually gave me a lot to write about, and I loved the fact that I had that outlet of the comic strip to address some of these urgencies and changes. No, when I started in 1980, the newspaper business was what we understood the newspaper business to be, right? And now it's not.
And although Brenda's relationship with her fictional newspaper employer was problematic, I was struck by the closing sequence you had for the strip, which was really very optimistic about the future of journalism. And the meeting that you had with Brenda and and a newsroom intern who could be just her younger self, the Glenda Carr, who was just inexperienced but ready to go out there and get the story.
Well, I think that the surest way for a journalist to make herself or himself look old and out of date and pointless is to sit around and whine about how newspapers are never going to be as great as they once were. You know, give it up. I don't have that gloom and doom feeling I think all of us had for a while. You know, when it first became clear that we were in the middle of a revolution, everybody was scared, and so many people were pessimistic. But when I look at our newsroom now, which has changed radically in just 3 years, it's mind-blowing how much it's changed. A lot of it having to do with technology, some of it having to do with money. But I look around, and there are some amazingly cool young reporters that give me hope, you know, who bring all the qualities to reporting that my friends and I brought to it when we were 27.